Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Among the changes coming to Washington in the new year, Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern takes over as chair of the House Rules Committee when Democrats assume the majority next week. In that post, McGovern will decide which bills come to the floor for consideration. In other words, he becomes one of the most powerful people in the House. That was not the case on the House floor yesterday when Republicans refused to recognize McGovern as he tried to force consideration of a stopgap funding bill to end the now week-old federal government shutdown. Just before he boarded his plane to Washington yesterday, we spoke with McGovern about the shutdown, which he blamed entirely on President Trump.
I thought we had reached compromise. I mean, the continuing resolution was agreed to by Democrats and Republicans, and the president said he was in favor of it. The Senate passed it overwhelmingly. Every Democrat and every Republican voted for it. We were prepared to vote it out of the House. And then I think the president was watching Fox and Friends and Ann Coulter, and he had a change of heart. So he had a temper tantrum and shut the government down. This is a Trump shutdown, and he has to decide how he wants to end it.
As a key Democrat, are you willing to give anything toward border wall funding, the funding that he wants?
Look, I'm happy to talk about how we increase our border security. And when I talk to people along the border, they tell me they need more personnel. They need more judges to adjudicate asylum cases. They tell me that they need more medical facilities. I mean, we have young children dying. But everybody I talk to on the border says a wall is a stupid idea. It's a big waste of money. You know, and I've never seen a wall that people haven't climbed over or dug under. So if we're going to spend billions of dollars on something, how about let's rebuild our country?
But how long are Democrats willing to let the shutdown continue? And aren't you worried that at some point blame for this will shift from President Trump to the Democrats if the Democrats remain intransigent?
Yeah. Well, Democrats aren't intransigent. We're happy to talk to them about border security. We want to invest in things that work. This is a manufactured crisis. I think the president has decided to pick this fight because he wants to deflect from all of his personal problems. 800,000 federal workers aren't going to get paid because the president had a temper tantrum, and that's, to me, pathetic.
Bigger picture, let's talk about the upheaval in Washington. President Trump's surprise withdrawal of U.S. troops from Syria, General Mattis out as defense secretary, the stock market extremely volatile as the president attacks the Federal Reserve, news reports saying the president is increasingly isolated, watching more TV than ever before. What concerns you most?
Yeah, I think the president's unhinged. I mean, I'm worried about his erratic behavior. And that's why I'm hoping that come January 3rd, the Democrats and Republicans are going to come together and do their job. And that means keeping the lights on, keeping the government running, and checking this president when he does irresponsible things.
Do you have any hope that he'll rethink his decision to pull troops out of Syria and to begin to roll U.S. troops out of Afghanistan?
Look, I've for a long time believed that we need to reassess our role in Afghanistan. Having said that, my position has never been we just one day wake up and pull everybody out. We need to figure out what the strategy is moving forward. And this president has no strategy. It's like he wakes up one morning, he decides to end our involvement, and he just ends it. Tomorrow he may wake up and want to go to war with Iran. I mean, who knows? But there's not a lot of thought being given to any of his decisions. And I worry that a lot of the adults in the room, and General Mattis in particular, are leaving. This president is alienating our allies, and he's cozying up to the worst dictators in the world. Look, I co-chair the Human Rights Commission in Congress. I think if this country stands for anything, we need to stand out loud and four square for human rights.
Well, let's talk about human rights and immigration issues, if we might, for a few minutes. You visited El Salvador and Honduras back in August to learn firsthand about some of the violent circumstances that many migrants are trying to flee from. One of many trips you've taken to the region, the president cracks down on migrants. There's been a lack of movement on immigration in Congress. This has got to be both frustrating and disappointing to you.
It is terribly frustrating. Look, we need comprehensive immigration reform. And at a minimum, what Congress ought to do is give the president a bill as soon as humanly possible to protect the dreamers and to protect those who have temporary protected status, people mostly from El Salvador and Honduras who have been here for over 20 years. When I was in El Salvador and Honduras, most of the people I talked to who were talking about coming to the United States were doing so because they were fearful for their lives and the lives of their children. And I'm going to tell you something. If I was in El Salvador and my kids were threatened, their lives were threatened, you bet your life I'd do everything I can to get them the hell out of there. And that's what's happening here. And when they come to our border, they're being turned away from our ports of entry. They're not being allowed to apply for asylum. And so the traumatic journey that they took to get to our border just turns into more trauma for them and their families. And quite frankly, we're a better country than what's on display right now.
Is the image of the country from abroad evolving?
I think people around the world who are struggling and who are victims of human rights abuses are disappointed. We expect other countries around the world, by the way, to be a safe haven for people fleeing violence. We expect the Europeans and others to take care of the Syrian refugees who are fleeing Syria. And yet we're turning our backs on women and children and people who have been targeted for death who are fleeing Central America. That's just wrong.
Let's move on to the Democratic takeover of the House coming up next week. You've said House Democrats will investigate and provide oversight of the Trump administration. What do you think that's going to look like?
Well, there's tons of stuff to investigate, from the corruption, potential conflicts of interest, to the pay-to-play. They're overturning environmental regulations at the behest of big donors and lobbyists. We need to get to the bottom of this Russia meddling in our election.
Can you give me a single area that you want probed?
Here's the deal on investigations. Committees have oversight responsibilities, whether it's the Resources Committee overseeing the Department of Interior, whether it's intelligence overseeing the Russia investigation. But we also need to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. I want to see an infrastructure bill passed. I want to see us move forward on immigration reform. I want to see us address the rising cost of college education for our young people. I want to expand health care protections and certainly make sure that we enshrine even more into the law that people with pre-existing conditions can't be denied health care.
Do you think there will be impeachment hearings targeting the president? Do you hope that there are not impeachment hearings targeting the president?
Look, I think we need to wait to see what the Mueller investigation finally comes up with. For me, I mean, I voted twice to send impeachment resolutions to the Judiciary Committee to move it forward. I personally think this president is unfit for office. But having said that, if there were going to be an impeachment, you need Republicans to join with you. We're not there yet.
The dysfunction of government in the big picture, will the Democratic takeover of the House change that at all or exacerbate it?
I think we're going to end the dysfunction. You know, I'm going to be the chairman of the Rules Committee. One of the first things we have to do is vote on a rules package, which I'm writing as we speak. Republicans have sent us major pieces of legislation that have never gone through any committees, never had any hearings. That's just wrong. So we're going to require that hearings and markups happen before bills come to the Rules Committee. We're going to require that you have 72 hours, 3 days to read the bill so we know what the hell's in the bill. As chairman of the Rules Committee, I'm going to try to be more accommodating to allow not just amendments that I agree with to be debated on the floor, but even to extend the opportunity for amendments that I strongly disagree with. I was a staffer. I worked for Joe Moakley, who was the chairman of the Rules Committee. He ran the Rules Committee in a way that I would like to replicate. It was more accommodating, more collegial. It helped create a climate where people actually got along and respected one another. The Republicans have done the opposite. The House of Representatives, under this leadership, has become the most closed Congress in the history of our country. I don't want that to be my legacy.
Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern from Worcester, thanks a lot for coming in and good luck.
Thank you.